it's too early in the morning for interviewing dead people,
mumbled Dr. Mackenzie Hagen as she sloshed her way through the wet jungle path, which was well worn at this point from activity. She attempted to duck under the low-lying branches of a thorny lime tree and was almost successful before it grabbed her ponytail, which protruded through the strap of her cap. She had taken a hodgepodge of modern transportation from Atlanta overnight, bouncing from a packed-like sardines Delta flight to a single-wing Cessna, and finally a decades-old Jeep J-8 patrol truck, which was utilized by the Guatemalan military for its special guests. With only 6% of the Guatemalan population owning a vehicle, she felt lucky that her options weren't more unconventional. She had only wished the soldier escorting her to the site would keep his eyes on the road and quit trying to sneak a peek down her blouse. June was one of the wettest months of the year in Guatemala, and this particular day did not buck the norm. A heavy downpour had just ended as the sun began to rise, causing the plant life to wake up in all its glory and the humidity to kick into high gear. Mac, as her friends called her, was not an early riser. She often joked she either needed 12 hours sleep or just 4 hours, although the latter generally resulted in a socially challenged epidemiologist. After they arrived, Mac stepped out of the jeep into the wet, soggy jungle. The sounds of chattering monkeys filled the air, as well as a light sprinkle dropping through the tropical foliage. The soldier led the way up a well-worn path created by foot traffic and handcarts carrying the CDC's gear. Her escort pushed back an areca palm and opened up a gateway to a clearing that stood in contrast to the third-world vistas that made up the northern part of the country. Her counterparts from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC's Central American Regional Office in Guatemala City, had arrived 24 hours prior. White tents surrounded the village, which was nestled into the eastern edge of the Laguna del Tigre National Park, on the country's northern border with Mexico. A score of native settlements, dwarfed by the rising hills, lay scattered throughout the jungles of this region, which used to play an important political and economic role in the ancient Mayan world. Like the nearly 2 million Indians that made up half of Guatemala's population, the residents of these outlying areas spoke various dialects of the Maya Quiche language, which evolved from the descendants of the Maya Empire. On this day, as Mac interviewed the dead, the language barrier wouldn't be a factor. Mac caught her first glimpse of the dead wrapped in colorful body bags and lying unceremoniously on the soggy ground. Signs of village life still remained, tools to cultivate corn, and primitive backstrap looms used to create colorful and complex textiles designed to differentiate the village from others nearby. This village was small by comparison. Only 20 to 30 small adobe houses were compactly grouped around the central square, where most of the bodies lay. No roads connected this village with others in the jungle. The inhabitants traveled on foot and occasionally on horseback, along narrow paths that wound around precipitous hillsides. They owned no vehicles, except for the hollowed-out canoes fortified on each side by clapboards. Mac could visualize a canoe's occupants paddling from a standing position, the one in the stern expertly steering the vessel along nearby Santa Amelia Lake.
What is wrong with me?
She never got distracted on an investigation as serious as this one. Perhaps it was the juxtaposition of a village set in an era 1,000 years ago, but now surrounded by modern technological advances. Or it was the sadness of an entire group of people, families with children, lying dead in their primitive village. She took a calming breath. She seriously needed to buckle down. Taking her eye off the ball in a situation like this would not be prudent. She let out a tense breath and closed her eyes for a moment. Mac bit her lip as she studied the scene again, taking into her imagination what life looked like in this desolate village before death came knocking. Several large raindrops snapped her out of her daze, as well as the smell of something familiar.